I don't want to correct you, but I'm going to correct you. I haven't gone through. I am going through, just to set the record straight. So if I look like I'm exhausted, it's because I am exhausted. I am really happy to be here, but if you look at me, you might not be able to tell that because I feel so tired. But listen to this. And he, Jesus, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for Christine, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Whew. Wow. When they asked me to do this, it was, I think, 2 weeks after my surgery or so, which was 5 weeks. My surgery was 5 weeks ago. And when I was asked to do it, I was feeling so much better than I had been feeling before the surgery. And the Lord had prepared me and said there was an opportunity coming for me to share. So when I got the call, I knew this was it. And I didn't tell my husband that. I just told him I was asked to do this and said, if you give me 100% of your blessing, I'll do it. But if you have any reservation, please tell me. And that was all I said. And he said, well, my only concern is how will you be physically at that point? I said, well, there's no way to know. So, you know, we'll just pray and whatever it is, it will be. So he did. And then he said to me, I think you should do it. He said, what do you think? I said, yeah, I knew I had to do it. After what God has done in these 15, 16 months or so, I can't even imagine sitting home and not shout. I want to shout sometimes from the rooftops how faithful God has been to me and how his grace really is sufficient for me, for you. It really is sufficient, and I have seen that so much this year. One of the things I was going to say exactly was what you said, Jackie, about how we're so body, soul, spirit, you know, we're just physical, emotional. And so sometimes we get ill and right away we think, well, depending on who we are, some of us think doctor, some of us think herb, some of us think sin. We have our own way of dealing with things. I like to go to the Lord first. Lord, is there anything? Is there any bitterness? Is there any unforgiveness? Is there any sin? Is there anything that's causing this? And then, depending on how that goes, go to the Lord with the others. But one of the things I just wanted to say, so that when I talk about this overwhelming peace and joy and how I was flooded with joy in the midst of this, I just wanted to say there are some women that are going through times of depression. And there is sometimes a real spiritual cause, sometimes a real physical cause. It could be a hormonal imbalance. There's so many things it can be. And I don't want you to think that because I didn't have any depression. There wasn't one of the symptoms, and it just didn't. I've had problems with that in the past when I've had hypothyroidism, but now I was on hyperthyroidism, and it didn't even enter in. So if you're going through that and you don't have peace and joy, don't get down on yourself. Just seek help, whether it be spiritual, physical, seek help, because there is help available for you. So I just wanted to say that so that when I talk about the wonderful peace and joy I had, you don't say, well, she has it, but I don't have it. Well, if you don't have it, God's grace is still sufficient. So that's the thing. The title was Spiritual Victories in the Midst of Physical Challenges. Before that, I would have put a label, that's what was given to me. I would have called it Choosing to Trust My Awesome, Sovereign, Loving Lord. Because that's what he's been teaching me in these many months. There's 3 points that I have that I'll share. And they could be summarized this way. Grace, grace, and grace. But I have been encouraged to share on more practically so that you don't go home and say grace, grace, and grace. And now what do we do with that? So I'm going to just share the 3 points. But this is God's testimony. This is a testimony of God's faithfulness to me. This is not a testimony of Christine's faithfulness. This is the Lord's faithfulness to me. And I just want to make that clear. Even the title, if I had picked that, I couldn't have picked a title like that, Spiritual Victories. Wow, it was given to me. I wouldn't have, it's almost like putting myself up that I had these spiritual victories. But remember, it's the Lord. It's all the Lord. So the first one that I'm going to talk about is attitude of gratitude. And this was the very, very first temptation, the first thing that came my way back in the springtime, a year ago spring, after enjoying 3 years of good health, and before that having been sick for years, and then I had 3 years of good health, and all of a sudden it came back. And I was like, whoa, what happened? How could this be? Well, and of course, the first thing I do is spiritually. Did I open myself? Did I do something? Is there sin here? What? And called for anointing. Did some speaking during the announcing, talking, confessing if there was anything, asking, do you see anything in my life? And going on. But I remember where I was standing when all of a sudden this day, I was thinking, oh, I can't believe it. After 3 years, how could this be happening? And then I remembered. Then I thought, God didn't owe me those 3 years. He doesn't owe me anything. And yet he gave me those 3 years. And it was in his mercy that he gave me those 3 years. And so suddenly I was looking at it from a different light. Yeah, thank you, Lord. And I started thanking him for those 3 years. Lord, those 3 years were beautiful. They were wonderful. I was able to do things. I was able to be there for my children who, you know, I had a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old at the time, and 10-year-old, and an older child. And I thought, thank you, Lord. He didn't have to do that for me. And so that set the tone for these many months. When I couldn't get out of bed, I thanked the Lord that I had a comfortable bed. Now, that sounds pretty silly, but I thanked the Lord for my comfortable bed. I thanked the Lord that I was homeschooling so my children could be around me with their school books. I thanked the Lord that I had children that were smart so they could learn well, so I would look like I was doing a good job when I really wasn't doing anything. And that was from my husband's side of the family. I thanked the Lord for that. And I thanked the Lord, and I thanked the Lord. And then on days when I could get to the couch, I thank the Lord I wasn't in bed that day and that the children could now be in the living room doing school around me and that I had a husband who didn't get tired of scrambled eggs and whole wheat pasta and the like. I thank the Lord in the midst of those things. It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It says, in everything. Not after everything. Not when you look back on everything, in everything. So I decided that was going to be my theme, that as long as I was sick, I was going to be grateful for even the small things. I was thankful that, now you will not be able to understand this one, I was thankful that I have a tree in front of our front lawn. Coming from New York City, we had no grass, no trees anywhere near our house. So I had this big tree and there were a lot of birds. I was just enjoying watching the birds. A simple thing, I could do that. So that was when I was in my chair. So now I'm in my glider, and that's probably where I spent most of this time. And now I'm looking and saying, I'm not in bed, I'm not on the couch, I'm in my glider. And the children could be around doing the schoolwork. And I could still have somebody scramble eggs and put the whole wheat pasta up. Just trying to look for those little things. And I think that when we are grateful, it takes away the temptation of being self-centered and having self-pity. Because once you start thanking the Lord, well, the list goes on. Then you could go into the spiritual realm, the real important one. Lord, you saved me. Lord, I mean, you could go on and on with that for hours. We have so much to be thankful for. But when we're in the midst of a physical challenge and an ongoing physical challenge, we can get very self-centered, very me-minded, and we can take ourselves and the rest of the people around us down really fast. And I give God all the glory that in this time, the people that know our family, the people that have been in there is peace and joy. The children, I mean, they just got used to the fact that mommy couldn't do things. But they didn't feel sorry for me, and they didn't feel sorry for themselves, and they just, it was just, this is the way life is now, let's make the best of it. There were times that it pulled at a mom's heart. There were times I couldn't wash my daughter's hair. I couldn't braid her hair, so it would go weeks not being done, and I'd say, I really have to do this, but I really don't have the strength to do it. And that was the little six-year-old, and she couldn't do it herself. And there were times that they'd go off to church, and I'd be waving, and I'd be, oh, I want to go. But I stayed home with one or two of my little girls, and that time has become so sweet that when I come back to church, I'm going to miss it. Because I was able to be great, and it was the Lord, to say, Lord, let me make the most of this time with my little ones. While I have these little girls home, and they loved being home. And they were like, oh, Mommy, we'll stay home and be your nurse. Mommy, we'll stay home. We love Sundays. We love to be with you. And I tried not to allow myself to think of what I couldn't do, but think of what I could do. And some days there was hardly anything I could do, but whatever it was, I tried to be grateful for that. And that really does dispel any discouragement and really helps. There was one time I was tempted to discouragement. And there were a couple of times in this year and a half or so. And one of the times I was at the dinner table and I just was too tired to stay up. And so I was going to excuse myself. And I just went to the bedroom and I started to cry. And I thought, oh, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? I just want to do the normal things. I'm not asking to go on hikes and, you know, I just want to do the things that mom should be able to do. And I realized what was happening. I was feeling sorry for myself. So I went into the bedroom and I was having myself a good cry. And I recognized what was happening. This is self-pity. This is discouragement. This is sin. I've got my eyes off of the Lord and onto me. So I recalled a message from back in New York. A pastor had preached about self-pity. And he talked about self-pity in a message, actually. And he talked about how we sometimes get so into self-pity that it's like we're having a pity party. And before you know it, we have the party hats out, we have the noisemakers out, and some of you from your background didn't do that, but we did those things. And before you know it, you have a pity party going, and you're just enjoying this pity party. And it's just a figurative way of speaking, but you can get really into self-pity if you allow yourself. And I remembered him saying, babies. Oh, he said, we got our eyes off the Lord, and we got our eyes on ourselves. And I thought, yes, I did, Lord. And I repented. I said, Lord, after all you've done for me, how can I allow this to take me down? What fruit is going to come out of this? Nothing good. So after I repented, I opened up my Bible, and oftentimes I read 5 Psalms a day, and during this time of sickness and other times in my past, I live in the Psalms, and there were many, many days I couldn't read. I didn't have the strength to even, I could sometimes physically read, but it meant nothing to me. My mind was really too tired to even take it in. And so this day, though, I opened it up to the date it was, and I read it, and I don't know exactly what psalm it was, but it was one of the psalms about lifting up my soul, and I just said, oh, Lord, it was something about crying out to the Lord and how he lifted up my soul, and I said, Lord, you do know what I'm going through. You hear me. You knew just what I needed to hear from you, and I was able to come out of the bedroom about 20 minutes later, and Ron came over to me, and he said, so how you doing, Christine? I said, oh, I'm doing great. He said, you are? I said, yeah. He said, what happened? I said, Ron, I was starting a pity party. I said, I repented. I was falling into sin. So we all rejoiced and went on. And that's the only time I really remember that. There were other times where I'd get teary at having to miss some things. And there were times that it was hard. But that was the one time I was really getting into the self-pity. And you can do nothing for the Lord or for others when you're so consumed with that. When the enemy would love for us to think that we're the only one going through anything like this and that nobody else understands. He'd love to get us to think Yeah, but you don't understand. I've been through this, or I've been through that, or... And it's true. I don't understand what you've been through. You don't understand what I've been through. But we have a sovereign Lord who understands, who knows what we're going through. And so if we allow the enemy, he'd be very happy to take us down that road. But we have to stand firm and say, no, I am going to be grateful. I am not allowing self-pity and self-centeredness to come into my life. The second thing was the sovereignty of God. We had been studying creation, and some of you heard the opening message that Ron gave here during that time, and talking about the feather on a bird and the intricate details of this feather. And we studied about the ear and the eye, and the detail is unbelievable. If things were just off by a tiny fraction of a tiny fraction of a inch, these things wouldn't work. God had to line up everything just so perfectly. And then we learned about how big God is. There are 100 billion galaxies. 100 billion. I had to write it. I wrote 100 and then I wrote the word billion, because 100 billion. I thought if I read the zeros, I'll probably... 100 billion galaxies, and each of them has about 100 billion stars. And he named them all. And even better than that, listen to this. He made the stars also. So we made this big dinner, and then we say, oh, and by the way, there's some olives in the refrigerator. You know, just, oh, by the way, there's just, yeah, there's a dish of olives. Just a small thing, just bring it out with the meal. He made everything, and then, oh, and by the way, he also made the stars. Like it was just a side dish. The stars, see how big he is. And we tend to have this small picture of what God is. We have this picture that fits into our little brains, which we can't contain how big he is. And so studying that, we didn't know when we started to study it, that that would be one of the other things that would be so helpful during this time, to realize how big he is and yet how concerned he is about me and about the details in my life. He cares so much. I had gotten many cards during my time of sickness, and this is one that I especially appreciate what it says. It says, when we stand in eternity looking back on this earthly existence, we will know by sight what we can only see now by faith. God makes no mistakes. He has every little detail of our lives all orchestrated, just like he put the planets in the precise place, because if they were a little too close or a little too far, they wouldn't be able to be what they are. Just like the feather, with every little piece, and the ear, and the eye, and every... That could be a whole message. It's just so incredible. And we studied that for a good school year, and we have been so blessed by what we continue to learn. And if you want to learn some more of that, Denny did a series on attributes of God. Whether you're having trouble with submission, whether you're having physical problems, no matter what you're having, those messages will help you see God so much bigger than we have in our minds. It's just incredible. So those messages came in the midst of, after we had been studying creation, and it was just like, oh, you're talking about some of the stuff we learned, and just God showing me again how big God is, and yet he cares about us. So choosing to trust him. He is in control of every detail. Helps us to be grateful, too, because then we can trust, oh, okay, God allowed this, he's got a purpose for it, so I could thank the Lord for it. So these are not three separate points. They came in and out all through these many months. And then the third would be advancing the kingdom. Even when we can't get out of bed, even when we're too weak to talk, to think straight, I know, I've been there. I am there now. I was wondering how I was going to talk today, because honestly, I'm too tired to talk. But we can still do what we can do. So I figured I couldn't back out, obviously. But I thought, well, maybe this is my third point demonstrated. I thought if I could give God glory, even in some feeble attempt to put these thoughts across, even though I might not communicate as well today as I do some other times, if I can somehow give God glory, then how could I not do this? How could I not? He deserves it all. So how can we do that? How can we advance the kingdom? Well, obviously, I'm not planning in the near future to go to Africa or any foreign land, and I don't know if that's in our future at all. But we can do so much right where we are. And by doing that, then we're not thinking about poor me. And so now we're thinking, how can I advance the kingdom? What can I do? So just a couple of things. I remember one day I was trying to prepare something for myself, and my oldest son was out working, and I wanted to heat up something. And I was there over the stove, and with tears in my eyes, I couldn't even see what I was preparing. I wasn't feeling sorry for myself, but the tiredness was so... I was so painfully tired that the tears just welled up in my eyes. And just trying to prepare this, whatever I had in the frying pan, was just beyond my ability. And so just at that moment, I remembered, Christine, get your eyes on something else or you're going to go down. And I remembered Weston is starting to teach the New Testament to the Kakumbas. He's just starting. They've never heard the New Testament. They have gone through the whole Old Testament now, and now they're going to hear the New Testament. Now, I was thinking this. I was still painfully exhausted. But I started praying, Lord, prepare the hearts. The leaders were going to be hearing the stories, and then those leaders were going to go out and tell their villages. And I started praying, Lord, help them to remember the stories. Help him, Weston, to tell them in a way that they'll be able to comprehend it. Help them then to go back and to faithfully tell them. Prepare their hearts, Lord. They've done so much work up to now. Before you know it, I shut off the stove and I went to bed or the couch or the chair, wherever I ended up that day. I didn't feel any better physically. I was still exhausted. But I got into kingdom building. I got into advancing the kingdom. I got to be a missionary in my own house, even though I couldn't do anything for myself. Little things like that, the more we do them regularly, we don't have to think. I didn't have to think, all right, now who should I pray for? Oh, I don't know. I don't know. Who should I pray? Weston, for some reason, because of the physical challenges that he's gone through and he and his wife had gone through, the Lord would just put them on my heart. And there were days that were really bad and I couldn't get out of bed, and I'd say, oh, I guess Weston really needs prayers today. Or maybe it was, some other thing going on when Darren and Rebecca had their little one and the baby was, and the mom's life were threatened. Oh, we could get under that burden and we could pray. When Rebecca was just, Libby was just so sick, we could pray. We could pray with all our heart. Lord, save her life. Lord, have mercy on her. Lord, show yourself strong to her. And before long, instead of, oh, poor Christine, I can't do what I want to do, it's, oh, Lord, when those answers to prayers come back, oh, wow, I had a little part of that. And so Christine doesn't feel sorry for Christine because, wow, Lord could even use me in this weakened condition. It's incredible. So those are basically the three points. Trusting in God, sovereignty of God, came in and out as well as the other ones. One of them, when I found out that I had a surgery, it was in the beginning of May, and now thyroid surgery is not, that bad, but in my weakened condition, I wondered if I could get to the hospital, no less have surgery. So because of that, my heart rate was very high. My pulse was, my blood pressure and heart and pulse were very high. And I was in a real weakened condition. And so I had some opportunities to trust God again and be grateful for this pending surgery. And so but the one thing I was having no trouble trusting my life into God's hand, but the thing I was having trouble was the money. Not trusting would the money be available. Using that much money for me. Oh, it just seemed like, what a waste. Lord, I told the Lord, you know, Lord, you could just heal me. And then we wouldn't have to spend all this money on me. And I think that would be a much better idea because there's so many people that need the money. There's so many needs, and it would be much more, you'd be a better steward if you would just do it my way. Well, it wasn't long before I was repenting of my pride, and the Lord showed me Christine. Whose money is it? It doesn't matter where the money comes from. Whose money is it? You're right, Lord. It's your money. It all belongs to you. You're right, Lord. So I started to ask the Lord to help me with it because it was a challenge. I believe that sacrificial living is just what we're all called to, that we're called to give to the cause, to get the gospel out. So this just didn't fit in. So I said, Lord, how can I make this worth whatever money? And I put a high amount on it so that if I could get used to that, then whatever it was under would be easy. So I said, $25,000. Let's just say the whole thing comes to $25,000. And it didn't come near that. But let's just say, how could it be worth $25,000? Because all things work together for good. So how could good come out of it? So then I started thinking, I know. I'll start praying for people that I don't usually pray for. And I'll ask the Lord to win a soul because of these prayers. And they are going to be prayers that I wouldn't have prayed if it wasn't for the surgery. So every time I think about the surgery, I couldn't sleep at night. So there were hours that I'd be awake. I'll pray for people that I wouldn't normally pray for. So I started praying for the loved ones of our church family. A lot of us are first generation Christians. So I prayed for the parents. I prayed some by name, some just then general. I prayed for the children. Some of us have children who aren't following the Lord. I prayed for the children. Again, some of them were, whew, I had some names and they were really burdens to me. I prayed for those. So in the middle of the night, I'd be, oh, Lord, this is getting exciting. I can't wait. Lord, give me a soul. Lord, give me a soul. I prayed for the doctor. I prayed for the nurses. I prayed for the person sharing the room with me. I just prayed for everybody that wouldn't have had prayers if it wasn't for the surgery. Well, I got so excited about it that all of a sudden this $25,000 seemed like a bargain. I don't even have to go overseas. It cost the missionaries, you know, a lot to live there for a year. And, oh, if I could win a soul this way, praise God. So the surgery came and went, and I know those prayers were not in vain. And I know someday, I don't know here or on the other side, I know there's going to be fruit from those prayers. Not because they were my prayers, but because we have a prayer-answering God. And I'm waiting. Someday I'm going to hear someone's going to say, guess what? My mom, my dad, my son, my daughter, my husband. There were people I was praying for, the husbands who are not following the Lord. The single moms who have husbands that are in the picture but not living with them. I try to cover every aspect of unusual prayers. Prayers that perhaps I've prayed for here once or twice or for a time. And just really, and then I thought, this is really a way to get my mind off this money. The money didn't even, whew, it was gone. And then the final test was, of course, going to the hospital. I wondered, how will it be when I leave my husband and children? I don't know what God's plans are. I couldn't honestly say I was sure that I was coming through this. I really didn't know. But I decided a couple of weeks before the surgery on a Sunday to write down some of my thoughts. So I wrote a letter to Ron just in case. And I put a date, don't open it until this following date. And I wrote a letter to, a little something to the children. It wasn't real sentimental. I'm not really, you know, I can't really write. So it was just kind of facts, you know, and just be careful of bitterness. Don't let bitterness come into your hearts, children. This was not a mistake. This was God's plan. I picked out some songs. I picked out someone I'd like to preach and the message, and oh, I just got it all ready, just in case. And then I left it, and I told him, please don't open this unless I don't make it home, because I didn't think he needed to read that. A couple of days later, he did read it, and he was blessed by it. But I had to get to the point to say, Lord, they're in your hands. I can't control what happens. But I said, Lord, if it would be better for me to be out of the picture, if that would be better for their salvation, the salvation of my children, then, Lord, get me out of the way. Get me out of the way. But if I'm needed, I'd like to still be here. And so, well, here I am, so I guess God thinks I'm still needed here. And right before the surgery, I needed something to focus on, either a rhema or something like that, and I came up with that song. I could sing it, but wait. No. Oh, Savior who died for me. Savior who died for me, I give my thyroid to thee. I know you know what's best. You are my God. Now remember, I had been studying about God. Not you are my God. You are my God. I will not fret or fear. I know you're always near. I know I'm in your hands, not the doctor's hands, not the anesthetist's hands. I know I'm in your hands. I trust in thee. And I went around singing that song. And I left that day to go to the hospital, waving to my children, driving there with Ron, and just said, well, I'm in his hands. Let's see what he does. And when I woke up, Dean Taylor happened to be the anesthetist, and he woke me up, and I heard him say, Christine, this is Dean. Everything went well. I'm going to go out and tell Ron. And I thought, I did make it. So that's all I have to share. I'm still learning, and I'm still in the midst of it. My thyroid was removed, and now I have no thyroid hormone of my own in my body, so I am on a child's dose of thyroid hormone. So my metabolism is very slow. My brain is very slow. My mouth is very... I'm just... I still have at least another week of that. Then I go back to the surgeon, and then he'll gradually... I'll be going to an endocrinologist, and then they'll get my levels up to where they're supposed to be. So that's why I am... If I look exhausted or if I don't seem like myself... I'm not myself yet, but... Praise God, I'm in the right direction. So, that's it.
Thank you so much, Christine. You didn't tell him what I said when I saw you. When I saw her, she still had iodine, and Janice and I went in together, and we kind of have these jokes that you have to have at this age, and I said, what'd that thyroid weigh? You probably lost 5 pounds, didn't you? She smiled and went, like, get out of here. I can't even talk yet. But humor. Christine, just close your ears for just a minute. That was refreshing to hear. In the course of these many months, there have been many issues that have happened in my life with Rebecca and the grandbaby. And there's always things on the mission field. There's always things on the ministry. And we have a voicemail, which many of you hate. I know I hate it too, but I love it for times like somebody in Christine's situation, because she didn't have strength, but she would... I wish I could have counted how many hundreds of messages you left in the last 15 months. Jackie, this is Christine. Just want you to know I'm praying about whatever. And, you know, sometimes I could hardly hear it. And I thought, how is she remembering that I'm speaking or that I'm going or that I'm doing or that Denny's facing this? But... that has been a testimony to my family. They said, she remembers everything, you know. And I appreciate those prayers. And it is an example to all of us that we can do something. We can't make the meal, maybe. We can't do what we'd like to do, but we can do something. And prayer is so important.
Thank you for listening. We hope this message has blessed you. If you would like additional messages or a catalog, please visit our website at ccfsermons.org. Call us at 855-55-CHARITY or write to us at Charity Christian Fellowship, 59 South Groffdale Road, Leola, PA, 17540. This ministry is supported by your donations. May Jesus Christ be Lord of all.